And whatever you interrupted, I forgot the rest of it. Okay. All right. Oh, if you want to turn in your Bibles, go to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13. Mark, chapter 13. Now, Brother Dan will be back on a Sunday night or two. And by the way, that led me into an introduction that I want to give. I want you to hear this carefully. I'll be saying this often. Brother Phil, at 9:30 on Sunday morning, these that are being baptized and others will be teaching a new member orientation or a church member orientation or what you ought to be doing after you get saved, okay? And by the way, that helps. Now, we would like to have about 8 or 10 in that class each Sunday morning. And when it is finished, and it's so designed that, you know, if you come in 3 weeks from now, you can do the cycle of 10, or however many cycles there is, and go right back to that. Others will come in at different times. But when it's finished, we want to do this until everyone in church, perhaps besides teachers, have cycled through it. I'm going to go through it. My wife, Peggy, needs it bad. She's going to go through it, okay? Are you fussing with me? You're not allowed to fuss with the preacher, okay? Brother Dan, now he's over here under the shade, he is going to be teaching mentoring. Select people. And by the way, this is so scriptural, it's unreal. Really, isn't it, Dan? It is. Select people will go through this training, and somewhere down the line in that training process, one of them will pick up Brother Jack and be his mentor. Now, Jack and I have already talked about a likely suspect for that. One of the ladies, and we'll teach ladies too, will mentor ladies as they come into our fellowship, as they get saved. Hopefully then, the mentors who mentor, those who are mentored then will become mentors. And that will, we may come to the place, hallelujah, where one day everyone in church will have a mentor or will be a mentor. We need some young men to go through this, who can take another young man who's struggling and lead him through it. So you be prepared. These, Kevin, Phil, I don't know why I'm going to call you Kevin. Kevin's over here. Phil's class began this Sunday. And I didn't announce it. I started to say I didn't have an opportunity. I just didn't announce it like I should have, and I apologize. But we want to. Let me just close by saying, now not the whole thing, not yet. I told you to wait, okay. Let me close by saying, listen, close this subject. When we get this being what it ought to be, I believe this, that God will bring people into our church just as fast as we can take care of them. I believe that. In fact, one of these days, I started to preach on that tonight, and God got something else on my heart. Now then, Mark's Gospel, chapter 13, are you there? If you're there, hold up your hand. If you need a Bible, hold up your hand. We have some stray Bibles around here. Okay. If you don't have one in your lap, look on your neighbor's. Okay. And flip over there to about verse 33, okay? What? Yeah, Mark chapter 13. Verse 33. On page 894. Found it? All right, stand. to honor God's word as we read it together. I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going into a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each of his workers and commanded the doorkeeper to keep watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he finds you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. I've titled, thank you, let me pray and then you can be seated. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit of the living God will so anoint this message and my tongue and my mind that what I say will be from your throne and your word and what we need to hear. For you know our hearts. There's not one individual in this building tonight that you do not know that heart. And you know the need of that life. And you're able to provide it. And so anoint this hour, this time together, for the glory of Jesus, for the lifting up of your people, for changing their lives for Christ's sake. Amen. Now you can be seated. Okay. I've entitled this sermon, Getting Home Before Dark. Getting Home Before Dark. When I was a watch, therefore, for you don't know when he's coming. And when I was a kid, well, after I got to be a big kid, Mom would always say, now, Mom, we're going down the road here to the Carrolls, or we're going down the road here to the Sanderses, or we're going down the road here and play a while. Well, now, you kids be sure to get home before dark. I thought Mama had a phobia about dark. I really did, you know. And then she would say, now, when you come in, be sure to lock the doors. If none of us went anywhere on a cold wintry night, before we went to bed, she'd say, now, check all the doors, make sure all the doors are latched. You know, in fact, that went on so much. When I got off up to Detroit, I would go lay down at night, and Mom would say in my head, now, be sure to get home before dark. Mom, I can't. I'm working second shift this week. Mama had a phobia about that. But then I began to find out, you know, there was a purpose to that. Have you seen that commercial on TV? This 14 or 15-year-old kid with his hair spiked purple and yellow and green, and he's got more hanging in his nose and in his ears than he ought to have, and he's going out the door, and his mama's saying, now, who's going with you to the concert? Now, I've always wondered, do you really care? And I'm not putting the kid down, okay? Now, there's three or four things I want us to see. By the way, I did not announce we're having baptism again tonight. Jimmy just loves that cold water back there. So we're having baptism again tonight. Hallelujah. I hope we never quit having those. Glory, that says God is working, God is doing, and God's moving in people's lives. And the more we allow him, by the way, let me give you just a footnote. I was talking to Jack this morning, and people that just get saved, they have a problem. Did y'all know that? That people that just get saved have a problem. They have the same one we have. Only we've learned to camo pretty good. Right? You know, they have a sin problem. We do too. But we smooth it over and camouflage it and give it different names. You know, I found out something not long after I got saved about sin. Listen to me. Sin will take you further than you want to go. And it will cost you more than you want to pay. And it will keep you longer than you want to stay. But they have that sin problem. And as you come to this altar, you, by the way, God really starts moving. You're going to find yourself in this altar a lot. And you'll think, well, what's wrong with me? It could be that God's dealing with us. Oh, I love to see the hand of God work among his people. Now, this thing about being home before dark, let's look at the text again. Verse 33, take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who leaves his house and gives authority to his servants, to each a job. There's service in the house of God. Are you with me? Can I shortcut this point and say, what are you doing? There's service in the house of God. Now that isn't, you know, it's kind of like giving. People think God wants you to give because he's gone broke. Now, listen, folks, God does not need the money. He needs the opportunity to bless you. He says, try me, prove me. Now herewith saith the Lord of hosts, see if I won't open to you the windows of heaven. Pour out on you blessings there's not room enough to receive. The more desperate your financial situation gets, the more earnest you ought to be in giving to the Lord. Well, now listen, service. Are you with me now? Service is a blessing. In fact, if I were you and I were not in a place of service for the Lord Jesus, I'd be on somebody's case to help me find one. It is a joy to serve the Lord. It's a blessing to serve the Lord. But listen, above everything else, life is fulfilled when you're serving the Lord. I mean, it's just a joy. Everybody in our house had a task growing up. I'll give you a little peek in the window. My job, and I was nicknamed the kindling cutter. Now, half of you don't know what kindling is, but we cooked and we heated with coal and wood. Now, if you try to build a fire and you don't have good kindling, the house will stay cold. Now, it didn't make much difference in July. But I want to tell you something. In February, you better have your kindling cut right. And only the heartwood, right out of the middle of that tree, the heartwood, cured and dried just right, split to exact the right little slivers. And then I'd take my favorite hatchet that I kept sharp and honed to razor sharp, and nobody got to use but me. And I'd go down those pieces and just shiv them up, you know, so that, I mean, you can snap your finger and a spark off your finger to almost ignite them. And here's why. When I got up in the morning and my bare feet hit that cold linoleum floor, and I had to go in to the kitchen and light Mama's fire in the cook stove, and I had to go in the living room and light the fire in the heater that heated the house, I'm telling you, I wanted it fast. And there was such a joy, such a delight to run and jump back in the bed. And there's no way in the world I couldn't keep from touching the other two boys that were in that same bed with my cold feet. And hear them every time. I could see them brace. I was called the kindling cutter. You didn't touch my kindling. But listen, I knew what I was to do. Question, folks, do you? I want to tell you something. That house functioned well. Mama kept a tight rein on we six kids. There were seven of us, but the oldest one was in the Navy, and so she couldn't do much with him, okay? Everybody, see that, 34 and 35? Everybody's assigned a task. Not just so you could have a task. God just don't want you having to do something. And by the way, if what you're doing is not fulfilling and not rewarding, then check it out with God. You may be doing the wrong thing. Listen, let me give you a quick testimony. Peggy Loreen did all of the preacher's wife's things. Carla, don't ever fall in that trap. When we first started, I was pastor, and she took care of the nursery. Well, half the kids in there were ours. Well, seemed like it. She did the WMU, the women's missionary thing. And she helped do all the hospitality, the meals, the potluck dinners, the funeral dinners, the wedding dinners. You know, and wasn't very fulfilling. And then one day God called me to a ministry that did not require that. And she said, I'm just going to sit down and do nothing. But she didn't. She then began to find the ministries that she had been gifted for. And oh, they were such a blessing. And she was so rewarded from doing them that she just had that big smile on her face like she has now. She's not faking you folks out there. She just loves that out there. That's her ministry. She knows she's gifted in doing that. What are you doing? Okay. Now, there's service at the house. By the way, there's another thing. There's safety at the house. Hey, there's something about it. When I got in the house and the doors were locked. Or if I was laying out on the front porch on that thick pallet that Mom made for me, listening to Harry Carey. I know that says nothing to you, but I want to tell you, Harry Carey was the best baseball announcer that ever crossed. Oh, that's Chicago. Oh, you may know. Well, you knew him when he got to be a drunk. I knew him when he could say, "Holy cow!" It might be. It could be. It is a home run. And I could just lay there, and in my mental imagery, I could see me standing at that plate on the right side of the plate and the fastball coming in and me jerking that thing out over the right field wall and holy cow, TV just hit another one. It might be, it could be, it is. You know, if I was laying there, I was secure. You know why? Because that's home. There's safety. Now, let me make an application at this point. You know, the other application is, and the first point is, you ought to be doing something down at church. Now, we have two jobs right now, wide open. We need somebody to roll peanuts down the hall, down the middle of the aisle with their nose. Well, you'd do it for Jesus, wouldn't you? Huh? Come on now, you'd do it for Jesus. You see, we sometimes... Okay, I'm just kidding about two. That's the only one we got. Let me make an application now of this point. The Word of God says, you walk in a company and not alone. For if you walk alone and you stumble and fall, and let me give you a Sears and Roebuck guarantee on that, you will, somewhere down the line, you'll stump your toe, fall flat on your face. Now, I guess we were the only couple in all of the United States that had boys that never, you know, when they were 2 weeks old, they started walking and never tripped and never fell. You believe that, of course. You know, no. Set them down there. You know, they pulled up on the coffee table, jerked the doily off, spilt the flowers. So you set them down there and say, "Come to Daddy, come to Daddy, come." And they take three steps and just pop. Wah! You know what we did? Grabbed him up and spanked him and said, "Don't you ever try that again." No. We put him on our shoulder and we comforted him and loved him and told him how good he was doing. And you know what we did? Said he better come to Daddy. Come to Daddy. And you know what? It seemed like till they got up to 3 or 4 year old, they could still do that, stumbling and falling. And then, here's where we drop off, folks. Listen, here's where we drop off. And then, running wide open, chasing his brother across the living room, didn't make the turn, slid right into the vanity corner of it, you know, that sharp corner, big old pump knot here. And then, going right off the end of the porch, over the railing and down there, the falls got worse. Okay, we are a place of safety. We're here to watch after one another. One, I won't call his name, but one man says, "I'm here to get Brother TB's back." Hallelujah. I've got a friend that lives in Florida and Colorado. And anytime I call, "Buddy, I've got a problem. Buddy, I'm here to help you with it." He'll call me. Doggone, I wish he had his problems sometime besides midnight. But he'll call me. "Buddy, I got a problem." There's safety at the house. You with it? There's safety at the house. Be sure, you know, that you're in the house and the door's secure. All right. By the way, there's a warning with this. Did you see it? There's swiftness and accountability at the house. I have a note here. I couldn't keep putting it in there. We had a little old farm and I was growing up, and you know, sometimes plowing, you get a little sleepy and you get off track a little bit and you just plow up part of a row. Well, we'd have to go out as quick as that was discovered by the head man, Mom. And we'd have to go out and take a hoe and a bucket full of seed and redo and trench and sow those soybean or the corn right down through there. One Saturday in particular, we had plans. I mean, we had big plans. I don't know what in the world Mom was doing out in the soybean patch on Friday, but she got out there. And so now here on Saturday morning, we got to go plant those little old skips where we'd plowed them up of soybeans. We came to a big cypress stump. Now, if you know anything about cypress, you just can't hardly get it out of the ground. I mean, it's tough. Taproot goes forever. I think it goes to China. But it had a big old hole in the top, and so we just poured what soybeans we had left in that stump, and we took our hose and flipped dirt up in there and covered those soybeans. Went to the house. "You boys through already?" "Yeah. We worked hard, Mom. We got stuff to do today." "Okay." You know what happened in about 3 or 4 days, don't you? Now, maybe if we hadn't put the dirt on top of the soybean seed, they wouldn't have done what they did. But the boy, they just... Choo. Accountability is swift at the house. Watch. There's a warning here. See it? Watch. Watch, therefore, lest the master comes. By the way, listen. You don't know. You don't have any idea when he's coming, but let me assure you, he's coming. And let me assure you, when he does, you and I will give an account. And we want to give account of how many hours we sat on that hard pew listening to a loudmouth preacher ran on and on and on. Now, I know you think that's a tremendous service, but we will give an account for our service. He gave you spiritual gifts. They're to be used for his glory. Not for yours, not to make you look like anything or anybody, but for his glory. He has done that and put that in you. So watch. You don't know when the master's coming, the evening or the midnight or at the break of dawn. But be sure, he's coming. Now there's a Bible full of illustrations. 10 virgins, 5 ready and 5 not. People on the housetop, 1 ready and 1 not. People out in the field working, 1 ready and 1 not. So, my challenge tonight is, as we get ready for Jimmy to perform another baptism, is get home before dark. Now, while they're going to prepare, Jimmy, y'all go now. I'm playing with Brother Jimmy. there's two conclusions to be made here. Points that are critical. You listed? Point one. Make sure you're part of the family. Got it? Now, we had 4 boys, and we would rather they be at our house than somebody else's. So they were at liberty to invite anyone they wanted to spend the night even, or to come and eat even. But if they were not a family member, that came to an end. We had a big old barn with a loft up in the barn, the hay loft that was finished off, and it was a basketball court, and every Friday night, teenagers would be out there with the droves playing basketball. Downstairs in one of the crib areas was a wrestling mat, and they'd be down there practicing wrestling. And there was a Coke machine and all of that kind of stuff over there in one area. And so they'd sometimes be 15 or 20 teenagers there, and about half of them would be in our den the next morning when we got up. And that's okay. Listen, we didn't mind at all. That's good. We knew who our 4 boys were. But none of them were invited to live there. You know why? They were not our kids. All right, so make sure you're a member of the family. And number 2, if you're a member of the family, make sure you're in the house before dark. Now, I'm not talking about sunset. I hope you understand that. Dark's not sunset. Dark's when it's too late to be out. Okay? Would you stand, please?